Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Kingdoms Queens podcast. We are officially 30 days away from NFL kickoff, and you're good. We are officially 30 days away from NFL kickoff, and as usual, there's plenty of happening amongst the Chiefs, Chiefs Kingdom, all that kind of fun stuff. So we have plenty to talk about tonight, but we're so excited to dive into that with you all. It's also NFL preseason kicks off this week. So the Chiefs actually play a football game this coming Sunday against the New Orleans Saints. And we cannot wait to see some of these guys that have been flourishing in camp actually in a game-like setting. So I'm your host, Lexi.
I'm Chrissy.
I'm Jody. Hey, y'all. So let's kind of get into it. It's time. Heads up, everybody. Our computers have been glitching, which is why we started 7 minutes late. So, we are here now, but we are here. And we are happy. Yeah. Glitchy. I don't know what's going on with StreamYard today. Anyway.
We'll be fine.
We'll be just fine. It ain't the first time. But we have a few topics that we want to talk to y'all about today. But first, I really, really, really want to talk about the franchise. It's back. Episode one.
Yay. So good.
Episode one last week. I kind of freaked out because I thought I missed episode two already. And then I was like, wait.
It's not till like the 17th or the 18th. So we've got time.
I thought it was weekly. No.
No, not yet. Not yet.
Not until the season, right?
Yeah. Right.
Well, let's just kind of talk about it. It's so good to have the franchise back. It keeps us really just in the loop of just everything that's been going on in the off season, and now since we're in training camp, so it's kind of keeping us in the loop. What were y'all just quick thoughts about watching the franchise?
I love that all of our rookie DBs called themselves the Fab Five.
I love them.
That was just like the camaraderie and just the cuteness of it all. Like, and then watching them like go out there, and they all had roles, and I mean, got in the Super Bowl win. Just, I was just so proud. I don't know. And you can feel that there's just, I don't know. There's a fire lit under everyone in that building. And I'm just, it was just such a good episode. I loved it. I love our young DBs. I love their fire. I love their competitiveness.
Same. I really like the bond that they all have, and you can tell they just got so close just because there was high expectations of them last season, and they literally achieved the highest goal you can achieve in playing in the NFL. So they don't even know any different. Like, they came in to the Kansas City Chiefs. They're playing with the best quarterback, the best head coach, the best tight end, arguably the best D lineman in Chris Jones. And they literally went to the Super Bowl and won it. So then to come back this next season, their sophomore season, I feel like they're all just as fired up as ever. I don't think there's going to be any, like, Super Bowl slump kind of thing that people can hit the next season like the Rams did last season. I don't feel that at all with our team. And I love that in each meeting they come in and Andy Reid has like Super Bowl 58 plastered all over everything. And just their mindset this next season to two-peat. They want to be the next team to two-peat ever since the Patriots did in the early 2000s. So I love that fire that's in them. I think they have all the chance in the world to do that. So I think the first episode of this just got me fired up and ready for the season.
I'm so ready.
Yeah, no, it was a great episode. For me, I think what I enjoyed the most, of course, is I always care about player perspective. So, I mean, I feel like we got to watch their whole entire off season. We got to watch them celebrate. We got to watch them party. And, you know, for us to get to see like them actually flip the page, I think that's what did it for me. You could see them as a team being like, all right, we won the Super Bowl, we celebrated, we partied, on to the next chapter. So seeing them kind of collectively turn that page was really great. I will say, I think my favorite part about the whole entire thing, though, was listening to Sky Moore.
Yes, I was going to say that, yes.
I'm really high on him for this season, so it was
great. I know.
Listen to him,
yes,
his adversity over last year and how he kind of overcame that. And it was nice to like listen to what that conversation sounded like during that AFC championship game. And he was like, man, I don't know, coach. Like, I don't know. He's like, you're the only one we got.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So,
but I love that he kept catching punts like every day. He was catching punts because he just had a feeling
it was going to come. And he was like super defeated about it. Like, you kind of see him have that like normalcy moment of like, he felt humble. And so it was really important for him to overcome that and to be better. And he absolutely was. So.
Yeah. And I remember hearing something and you could hear it in the stadium. I wasn't at the stadium, but you could hear it on TV, how quiet it got. And Sky has talked about how when he went out there for that big punt return, where he returned it to like the 50 or around that big punt return he had.
Yeah.
He talked about not in the franchise, but in a separate interview, he talked about how quiet it got. He's like, you could hear like a pin drop because everyone was like, oh crap. I remember watching it. Sky. I was like, oh my God, Sky's back there. Sky's
back there.
Oh my gosh. But he did great and he had a great return. Yeah. So like Jody said, overcoming all that adversity and going out there. And I bet like you're on the biggest stage before the Super Bowl. Like this is it or you go home at home and the whole stadium gets quiet and you're just like, oh yeah, they don't think I can do it either.
Like, I'll say
I know.
I know a lot of people don't know this, but Sky kind of has like his own like YouTube thing too.
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
He has his life in, especially what it's like now being in the NFL and being this great player that he is. But before the Super Bowl, if y'all go back and watch it, his mom was just so positive and so encouraging for him. And she was like, something big's happening today. I don't know what it is.
I feel it.
And of course, like then he gets a touchdown in the Super Bowl. So
yeah,
it's like the small things that like that make you love these players. And so that's why I'm really glad to watch the franchise. Of course, last year I didn't start watching until like week 14 or something. Like I was a terrible Chiefs fan for some reason. But since then, I don't know why, because it doesn't matter.
Since then, you're like, I figured it out. Now I need to watch it.
Though, like, I watched last season, though, probably like 10 times, though, the whole entire season. So I love the player perspective. I can't wait to watch it like every single week when it comes out, because we see what we see and we hear what we hear on social media and just wherever, but to actually get them mic'd up and, you know, with the camera in their face, it's pretty dope.
Yeah.
I love it. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get
I agree.
Go ahead, Lexi. No, you're fine. Go ahead.
You're good.
Already.
Right. Say what you were going to say, and we're going to transition.
Say it.
Nothing. No, I'm just excited for Sky Moore to break out this season. I think he's going to be. I think he had to regain that confidence back. And I think that punt return really helped him. So I'm just excited for him. I'm excited for his sophomore season. That's all.
Same.
Yeah. Well, this comment. This comment says, I don't know what's going on with StreamYard today. It's really actually stressing me out. But this comment says, I'm worried about CJ for the long run. Will he be here this year or not? I don't know. So that is a great transition point for us because we are getting ready to talk about the Chris Jones situation, the Charles Omenihu situation. We know that Omenihu is suspended for the first 6 games of the season. We know that Chris Jones has still not signed this contract yet. Might not, right? So we also today on Twitter, if you were paying attention, he tweeted out, I love you, Casey. And a lot of people were like, oh my God, does that mean, yes, I just signed this big contract, I'm staying? Or does that mean, see you when I see you. I'm getting out of here after this year. So everybody's thoughts.
I just think Chris Jones is, I think he has fun with the cryptic tweets, honestly. I think the cryptic Instagram, like he loves the attention. And I'm not saying shouldn't. He deserves the attention. But gosh dang it, Chris Jones, stop stressing us out. And Chiefs, stop stressing us out and just get the contract signed because I am sick of it. I am sick of every single day when I listen to the radio, like, oh no, Chris Jones at training camp. Well, no, Sherlock, like obviously. Like, obviously he's not there. I don't think we'll see him in St. Joe. Honestly, we have a month before our first game. I don't think, like our first actual regular season game, I don't think we will see him at training camp in St. Joe. I think they're going to get his deal done during preseason and he will practice at the facility at Arrowhead at their training facility. I don't think we'll see him in St. Joe.
And I'm fine.
No, I don't think we'll see him at all. And I don't think we'll see him at all in St. Joe. And with the way things are going, genuinely, really, it is only Chris Jones, his agents, and Brett Veach that know what's going on in management. No one else has a freaking clue what's going on. And I think the deal is for Chris Jones. I think there's a deal laid out on the table. Veach is going to stay at that price. And Chris Jones' agent isn't going to want to go for that. Because it also reflects on him as an agent. And I think his agent is going to say, well, you know, if we can't get Chris Jones a deal, then what are we doing? So I think Chris Jones, this could very, very well be his last season with us, which is a super bummer. But I also hope he gets paid because he deserves to be paid. He's a phenomenal player. The best defensive tackle in the league right now. Chiefs, what we're building, we're just not going to be able to afford everyone. And we're going to see a lot of our favorite people go, just not including Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes. Aside from that, we're going to lose people we don't want to see go throughout this entirety of Mahomes' career. So,
yeah,
I think
I think just prepare for this to be his last season is what I, that's what I, that's the vibe I'm getting. I don't know, but
I think my take on this is, regardless if Chris Jones signs or not, he's going to be here this year. He has to play football this year. Yes, he's up to $500,000 in fines already, but it's not that.
He's up to almost a million.
He's
now
up to a million.
It's like
he's
a million now.
Oh, he's up to a million. Sorry. Yeah. I got to take it for a second. My bad.
Well, real quick, there was a comment talking about how the Chiefs needed to sign Dunlap or Justin Houston. Justin Houston already got signed. He's gone.
Yeah.
He's not available.
He's a Panther.
He's a Panther now. So Dunlap, yeah, that we need to get him, but we don't have a cap until we figure out Chris Jones' contract. Right. That's the problem.
Sorry. So, I'm back. My bad.
You can come back in. But yeah, that's the problem right now.
I apologize, y'all. But regardless, Chris Jones, he has to play this next season, right? So there's only a few things that he can or cannot do. Chris Jones can come into this year and play amazing. He can come in, play lights out, have the most sacks he's ever had in his whole entire career. And he can use that as leverage to either go to another team and get the bag that he wants and deserves, or the Chiefs may be like, all right, well, he's still got tank in his fuel, even though he's hitting that over 30 threshold, and we really don't believe in paying players over 30, right? Or Chris Jones will play not as great as he's played over the past years, which I kind of doubt, but he won't play as great as he played. And then we can use that, the Chiefs can use that as leverage to be like, all right, well, I know you wanted 30, but we're going to give you 26 and a half. So you're going to either take that or leave that. So, I mean, they can – it's really all up to him in this next season on who he wants to bring and what he's going to deliver to this team. But regardless, he's going to play this next season. So – and they can still get a contract worked out through the season. You know what I mean? So I don't think it's anything that we should be stressing out over. Is CJ one of the best to ever do it? Absolutely. But do I fully believe in Andy Reid, Brett Veach? Why did I just lose my train of thought? Spag. I fully believe in all of them and the culture that they're trying to create and what they're doing with this defense, especially this defensive line. Our secondary is lights out. They're going to be even better this year than they were last year. So, I mean, there's a lot of positivity still happening with this team and this organization, even though we're getting the cryptic messages from Chris Jones. So it is what it is. He's going to be here this year anyway. And the worst thing that can happen is he goes out and gets a third Super Bowl ring and he's a three-time Super Bowl champion and he can go wherever he wants.
That's the thing. And he has to think about that too for his future, because when you're retired, those accolades go further for you than it does. Let's say he doesn't re-sign with us. Let's say he goes to the Chicago Bears. I don't know, whoever. And you're not going to win another ring, right? So I think he has to just weigh all of the options for himself. And honestly, I respect whatever he does. He's had a phenomenal career here. He's proven more than enough that he deserves to be paid. So I just think he has to go with his gut, trust his gut. But either way, he'll be a Chief this season. I hope he shows up like a week before the regular season would be nice, so you can get a little practice in. But we'll see what happens. So
y'all know how I feel about not showing up to practice. So I won't even talk about that because y'all know how I feel about that.
But think about it or not, there's actually a few guys out there who have not still shown up to practice. Both of you out there.
And I'm annoyed with every single one of them.
There's a lot of guys out there who, I will say though, like, yes, it sucks that Chris Jones has not been at practice. However, this is giving those other guys so many more reps out there on the field. So him not being there is letting us see what the rest of this defensive line can do. So even though it sucks, there is some positive things coming out of camp with these guys of, you know, the productivity that they've been having on the D-line. So I will take it.
I mean, I'm glad that they're getting extra reps, but they're also not getting the knowledge from Chris Jones that they could be getting. Yeah. And that's what bothers me the most is that, to me, and I'll make it real quick because you all have heard me on my soapbox before.
Multiple times. We love it.
But to me, when you are a leader on this football team, you need to be there. Whether you're practicing or not, you are under contract. You have a responsibility as a leader on this team to help mentor the new guys, the young guys, the guys who still need help, whether you are there putting in the work, putting on the pads, taking the reps or not, you should at least be there as a mentor, whether you're going to get under the pads or anything. It just, that's what bothers me as a leader on this team. Leaders don't hang the rest of their team out to dry for selfish reasons. And am I saying Chris Jones deserves to be paid? So
correct.
Don't take me the wrong way that anybody here. Chris Jones deserves to be paid, but he's also a leader and his teammates deserve him being there. So both can be true. So yes, Lexi's glitching. We know. Sorry.
And StreamYard is also glitching.
Yeah. So. Are we going to show that?
Is that? We're going to try to get your comments up here as they happen, but I'm also not going to fight with my laptop.
Yeah. StreamYard's being a pain today, guys. We're trying.
So let's kind of get into the Charles Minnehue situation. So he is suspended for the first six games of the season. And we knew it was coming though, right? We knew the issues that he was having when he was on the West Coast with the Niners. Well, not with the Niners, but there in the state of California. So we knew the issues that were coming, which is kind of why he got the deal that he did, right? Like, that's the reason why we only signed him to such a low deal, because we knew that the suspension was going to come. We didn't know how many games it was going to be. I didn't think it would be six, but I mean,
I didn't either.
But if it's six, it's six at the same time, right? Like, he deserves what's coming to him, respectfully. So what are you guys' thoughts about him not being there those first 6 weeks? Like, especially with the chemistry between him and Chris Jones, it seems like it's going to take forever to get built. So what are y'all thoughts on that as well?
Yeah. I do like that he's still able to participate in practice. I know he's there. He was staying late with George Karloftis and they were getting extra work in. So I do appreciate that. And like you said, Jody, like, he got a suspension. You know, he did something wrong. I didn't think it'd be six games, but it is. So we have to go forward with that. And so the thing is, he wasn't here last year. So it's not like we're used to him being out there on the line.
Yeah.
But you know, if I would just feel much better if we could have a veteran presence out there. You know, Mike Dana is still trying to come back from his calf injury. Same as Tershawn Wharton. No, he's still working back.
He was active in camp yesterday.
Yeah, so he was, which is great. But you know, I wish we could get Dunlap back. And I know he's just sitting there waiting for a call because he talked about it at the ring ceremony.
I learned how we have $5 still.
Yeah, we can't get him back if nobody restructures a contract. So
even if we were to bring Dunlap back on like a 1 year, whatever the vet minimum is, we don't even have like half of that.
So, I know, exactly. Like, we can't even bring anyone in. Unless
a GoFundMe started like immediately.
Yeah, immediately.
Oh, no.
But yeah, it's unfortunate, but like you said, we were expecting it.
Yeah.
And I wish the NFL had some consistency in their suspensions, because they honestly make no sense to me. We have Alvin Kamara on the Saints, who I won't really speak to what he did, but he beat up a man pretty badly in Las Vegas, and that was at an NFL event, right? And he only got three games suspended. Charles Menahue, I don't know the full details. Maybe there's something we're missing from it because the details are very vague in the articles online. But from what it sounds like it, not that any form of what he did is okay. Now we believe it was some sort of domestic, right? So not that any of that is okay ever. It sounds like maybe it wasn't quite as bad as it was made out to be. I don't know. I'm not, again, you know what I'm saying.
I mean, we had this same debate last year with Willie Gay. We said the same shit.
Yeah.
We said the same thing about Willie Gay last year.
And Willie Gay only had four games.
Two.
Versus Charlie.
He only had, two games.
Was it two or was it four?
Yeah.
I think it was two. Because we had two suspensions.
Either way, it was way less.
Two and two.
Frank Clark had four.
Okay, you're right. Frank Clark, okay. So, regardless, six games is a lot. Six games is, six is a lot to be suspended. So, like you guys said, though, it's not like we're used to having him on our D-line. So, whatever he can bring, once those six games are up, I'm grateful for. But I think our D-line is one I'm most looking forward to watching in preseason because I do not know what to expect from the depth on that D-line right now.
Right.
At all.
I mean, I'm still fine with our D-line, though. I mean, we still got George Karloftis. We still got, I mean, our linebackers are insane. You know what I mean? So
yes.
I'm not super worried about them. Do I think they might start off slow and have to figure out, like, what that chemistry looks like? And do I think that they're really working through that right now in camp? Yes. Do I think they're still going to start slow? Yes. Our defense always starts slow. So I need Chiefs fans to understand that before all of this happened, Chris Jones not signing, the suspension, blah, 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 our defense was probably going to start off slow anyway, just because that's who we are as an organization. We do it every single year. It takes them a little bit of time to kind of click and get it going. So I'm not low on our defensive line. I'm actually very high on our defense as a unit still.
I agree.
Right, but do I think that they're going to still be able to be a top 10 defense? Probably halfway through the season. I don't think we're going to jump out and be a top 10 defense. But I think after a few games, we probably will fall into that category. Mm-hmm. I think jump out is like a top 15 defense, and then it'll take some time to get to that top 10 like it normally does. So,
but hey, if we're starting out as a top 15 – like, that's better than where we started in previous seasons.
It's still better than anything Pat has ever had. And that is what the league should be very worried about.
Right.
Regardless. So, I love it. Well, let's keep going because we've kind of already talked about training camp. So, let's get into training camp updates. We just had a Chief Space on Twitter, like, right before we got into this, literally, into, like, 2 minutes before. Shout out to everybody who was in the space listening and then came over to here afterwards to support your Kingdom Queens, because we truly appreciate y'all. But yeah, we had some really great conversation in there. We spoke a lot about the wide receivers. We spoke a lot about the O-line. We spoke about our left and right tackle. We spoke about the defense, the D-line, the corners, everybody. We had a great conversation about literally everything you could think of that was coming out of camp. So what are some just like highlights that you guys have heard so far about camp? Like, of course, the Rashee Rice thing happened today, and he was limping off the field, but then he literally was back on the field in the next play. So it's like, I don't know if like the league is trying to create a narrative because they know we already have anxiety about our wide receiving room. So if somebody sneezes, they're like, oh my God, this person sneezed. You know what I mean?
You know what's
funny?
Let's
just say people know it'll get clicks and get
absolutely
people talking.
I love it.
You know what's funny, though?
Impressions are important. No, I'm kidding.
I have zero anxiety about our wide receiver room. Absolutely zero.
Same.
I would like to see it in a game, but what I've seen in training camp is better than what I've seen in previous year's training camps. And that excites me. I'm so excited about this young wide receiver room that no one has real tape on. except for MBS, obviously, but even MBS looks like he's taken a jump.
Exactly. And yeah. Who knows, MVS's role will probably be very similar, but it'll be a lot different with the other receiver, with Sky and KT around.
Yeah, it's just the chemistry.
To be here week one.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
To me personally, KT does not have to play week one. I'm okay if he sits out like another, maybe the first 2 weeks. I'm cool
same.
With that.
Yeah, same. We survived without him the whole first, you know, whatever of last season. So, you know, I honestly, like the leaps and bounds that it looks like Sky has taken this season. Rashi Rice, Justin Ross are both, you know, lighting up. And you know who I think is a dark horse of training camp is Nico Remigio. I love him. You guys.
Okay,
when
let me
I was at training camp. Oh my gosh. I everything that he did, he never dropped the ball. He made these unbelievable catches. He's hard to bring down. I think he could be a dark horse.
I agree.
He could potentially be like, I don't know, like who I even want to, I don't want to compare him to like a Pacheco or something like that, but I feel like he could potentially come in a big time moment.
Absolutely.
During this season as like, I don't know, like he excites me because I think he's way better than people are projecting him. I don't know. I love him. Love him.
So let me ask y'all this. There was a debate yesterday and today a little bit, and it was, do we take 8 receivers? So we know with Charles Minnick being suspended for those first 6 games, he does not count as a roster spot.
Right.
So we could add that spot at receiver, at tight end, because that's a whole another conversation we'll get into with the tight end room. But where does that extra spot go? We could go 8 receivers, but at the same time, a lot of people think, and I'm actually on this train now too, do we take 4 running backs too? So at this point, it's obvious we're going to take 4 running backs.
Right.
I think it's obvious we're going to run with 4. And then it's
definitely.
I'm going to just say this. I was like 7 running backs. I mean, sorry, 7 wide receivers. I'm not taking 7 receivers. And I'm like, well, shoot, are we going to go up to 8? Like, we might. I don't think I've ever seen us do that, but.
What's crazy is, like, Trent McDuffie was saying in his presser yesterday, he's like, I don't think people realize the amount of weapons Patrick Mahomes has right now. And then you have the best quarterback in the league who was going to make them all their very best.
Yeah.
And he was like, he's like, I'm so excited for them to get to play against other defenses in this preseason. Because every single guy has their own niche. Every single one brings something different.
Absolutely.
And like you said, Chrissy, too, like I was at training camp last week, whenever that was. And I know it got rained out, but like in the short time I was there before, Nico Remigio, he was making tons of plays. Like I kept seeing 27, 27. And we're all like, everyone's looking at number 27. And I'm like, this dude could be something. And then I also think we're getting really, really lucky with the undrafted free agents that, of course, they all want to come play for the Chiefs, right? So we're getting guys like him. You're getting guys like Denarik Prince. And I think both of them,
I'm excited.
I love. And I think both of them have a chance to be impact players on our team, which is crazy. So I do think there's a good chance we could take definitely 7, maybe. Definitely 4 running backs. I think this receiver room has all the potential in the world. And I've said this before, but I don't think you could say that if you had them in a different offensive scheme. But because they have Andy Reid and the best quarterback in the world, possibly to ever play the game, in Patrick Mahomes, these guys are going to flourish. And our offense, I think, and like you said, Chrissy, too, like teams don't have film on any of them. So they can come up with the most like outlandish, whatever kind of plays they want to do. And it could work for a lot of the season until, you know, eventually tape will start building up. But I'm really excited for our wide receiver.
But even
here, how
much tape is it going to be when you have 7 receivers, 4 running backs,
exactly,
4 tight ends? It ain't that much tape in the world.
No.
That you do when you got 15 dudes out here that can go and do any type of thing. So,
well, and not to mention like our tight end room, like Noah Gray, I think, is going to have a great season. Then obviously Travis Kelce's going to be fine.
This might be a hot take, but before Jody Fortson got hurt, I actually thought that Blake Bell might be on the bubble to not make the team this year. But now I'm starting to wonder if this will be the first season that Jody is on the outside looking in because he can't stay healthy.
I know.
And we have so many roster spots.
And they really like Jody.
I love Jody Fortson. I love him.
He's always injured. There's always something injured. We don't know what's going on with his injury today. So not sure if you guys, Chiefs Kingdom, not sure if y'all been on Instagram lately, but Jody was on there and he just posted about 3 hours ago at this point. He was in Miami, Florida, and he was just like, you know, whatever happened.
Oh, he was all the way in Miami. So he's not even at training.
Yeah, he was in Miami. No,
oh, I missed that. Oh, wow.
I have it right here.
That can't be
good. At least the location that was targeted on there was.
He said, have faith and know that extraordinary things will happen for you in 2023. Make this your state of being to generate more life and more blessings. That doesn't make sense. And then he said, no matter how it plays out, I'm going to have blessings from Miami, Florida. And he said this, like I said, about 4 p.m. Central Standard Time. So my thoughts on that, and I kind of talked to y'all briefly about this, but, you know, maybe the shoulder injury is something more than we thought it was. And, you know, maybe he didn't like what the training staff said when they were looking into it. I know it's just a shoulder separation, but I mean, is it something that could be more intense that could possibly lead to like a surgery? And I think that
he didn't get
like a second opinion. Like, is this really what they're saying? So there's a very high possibility that whatever's going on with Jody, he could get put on IR or not even make this team.
Right.
I think he was,
I love Jody.
He's one of the training camp darlings. You know, everybody loves him every single year. We always want him to do the best he can. We want him to make the team because he's such a great red zone threat. Plus, he just seems like a really nice guy. But the injury bug just bites him every single season. He did make a big play on special teams on that Sky Moore punt return in the AFC Championship. Jody Fortson had a huge block at the end of that play. So, I mean, he does great on special teams, and he's a big red zone threat when he can get on the field. But it's like, how often can he get on the field? Because he's always got some injury, and it's not like a little tweak or something. It's always like a pretty major injury that he misses significant time with. So, and I hate that for him. I do. I really hate that for him.
And plus, someone said in the comments too, like, I know that this year we are going to do a lot more of that heavier personnel. You're going to see the 12, the 13, and maybe the 14, depending on who that other tight end could be, right? So, I mean, it's something that we have learned to grow and love as an organization, and we excel at it extremely well. A lot of the times when you think the ball is going to go to Travis Kelce, it goes to Noah Gray.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to see what Noah Gray is going to pull off this season. I'm very high on him for this season. I think and we've said this several times too. We think that he's going to take some of that weight off of Travis going into this year. And I really hope that is what the case is, because we want to keep Travis around as long as we can.
Totally agree.
So Noah can be around.
Yeah. Totally agree.
What were you about to say, Lexi?
Do you remember? Oh, nothing.
I do remember. So let's kind of talk a little bit about the secondary.
No, I'm good.
Let's talk about the secondary. So, you know, we're still dealing with Snead's injury, and it's still this inflamed
knee swelling.
And unfortunately, we knew that this injury was here like Super Bowl, right? So this is like something that's new. It's something that's kind of been lingering. And we know that he's been rehabbing all offseason to get this knee right. Yeah. And we're still having these same issues today. So what are your thoughts about the secondary, possibly without Snead for a little bit of time until he can be, you know, 100% recovered?
Honestly, excuse me, now I've got it, Jody. Honestly, I still feel fine. Obviously, I want to have Snead out there. However, Snead went down with a concussion.
Yeah.
And what? It was against the AFC Championship against the Bengals?
Yeah, the Bengals.
Is that when it was?
Two snaps.
Yeah. So he was basically out that entire game. And the best thing about our DBs is they were baptized by fire, right? All last season, they were thrown into uncomfortable situations that they were not necessarily prepared for, and they had to go light it up anyway. So I feel like those guys, especially getting training camp, all the extra reps with Snead being hurt, I think they're going to be fine. Yeah. And we all know Veach, how he is with corners. For whatever reason, he doesn't seem to want to pay them because he does a good job at finding them through the draft. So this may be, you know, depending on how Snead is, if he can get out there and play. Because it could just be precautionary because it's training camp and we still have a month. You know, he may be fine week one and he's good. But I really think our DBs will be fine. They got thrown into every situation that they could have last season when they were not prepared for it, and they still shined. So
they did great.
Yeah, I think they're going to be just fine. And obviously, I would love to have Snead there, obviously. But if not, I still think they're going to rock it out.
Right.
Yeah, and I think Andy Reid did say, too, like, they're making good progress on his injury, which makes me think it's just precautionary.
Yeah.
So that's, I'm completely fine with that. I know, like, McDuffie said yesterday again in his presser, he was like, he's like, it's hard not having a guy like Snead out there because he is that leader in that defensive back room. But at the same time, it's giving the other guys reps. He's still there. He's still competing and learning with them. But I'm totally fine with them being precautionary with it if that means he's fully ready to go for week one. So
take it easy on
as much time as you need.
Yeah. And I mean, the only other thing I would say is Spag spoke very highly about those DBs too.
He sure did.
It seems like they're lightning miles ahead where they were last year. Like last year, yes, they were the rookies and they were coming in, but he was like, now it's like they're totally just on this elevated path. He was like, I didn't expect them to be at the place that they are right now. So hearing that come from Spags is like, okay.
That's the thing. They were rookies last year, but they weren't rookies. They didn't have time to be rookies. They had to step up and rock it out. They were rookies this is their first year in the league, but they were not rookies on the field. They didn't have time to be rookies. They had to elevate themselves past that rookie status. So
let's talk about this comment really quickly before we transition, but I'm worried this might be the last contract for Tommy Townsend. So we know that he did take an injury a little
bit. I think it is.
He's fine.
Tommy Townsend is fine. And if it is his last contract, then okay.
He's a punter.
It's okay. We can put Chrissy out there. Do y'all know that Chrissy plays soccer? And she is and she been doing this for years. If I don't, we would just read out there. Like, I think we're good.
I can punt it. I can do it.
You can punt. You're right.
They could pay me $100,000 and I would be fine.
So you know you're not. Well, yeah. Yeah. You
can. And then they can pay Chris Jones.
It's a bargain.
I will
get a good date with the Chiefs player. Pay me $100,000. I'm good.
Season tickets, by the way.
Season tickets for my friends, my family up in a suite.
Right. But I mean, if this is Tommy's last year, I think that's okay. He's done more than enough that we can ask for here. So, you know, his work has definitely been serviceable. Love him. He's still going to have a great season this year. Yep. And honestly, at this point, I think that the whole entire team, every single unit is like Super Bowl or bust. So if we can figure out a way to get that dynasty and get that fourth ring into this organization and really be a dynasty with all of these dudes on their last contract, then that means more than any. I'm going to tell y'all this now. We get a Super Bowl this year, half of the team will not be there next year. So just wrap your minds around it, guys. Well, who are listening. Half of them will not be. I mean, besides the rookies, of course.
Right.
Besides Pat, besides Travis, and we'll definitely probably keep Nick Bolton. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of those other guys, we'll keep Cree. We'll keep Tooney. You know, like, we'll keep the guys that we need to keep. But a lot of them other guys.
Yeah. And that's to my point earlier, too. It's like we're going to lose a lot of guys we don't want to see go, but that's just how it goes and what we're trying to build. So
that's what the Patriots did. You know, their teams look different every single year, but they kept the pieces that they needed to build around.
Correct.
And that's kind of the same thing we're doing, you know?
And I'm down.
It's a business deal.
It is. And just think about all the new people we get to love every season, you guys.
Yeah, they're all great.
Don't buy jerseys. Like, I could kill Trent McDuffie from going from 21 to 22.
I know. But I was like, Trent, what you doing, man? I need Rashee Rice to be a star because my favorite number is 4. So, Rashee Rice, this is a direct comment to you.
He will be a star.
Be a star so I can buy your jersey because, man, that is my favorite number. I wore it my whole career. favorite number. I want to buy your jersey. So be awesome.
All right, let's get back on track here. Sorry. So as we know, yesterday was the final 10 through 1 of the NFL Finally. Top 100. So for a lot of y'all like me, who did not pay attention to the top 100 at all, there were no Chiefs fans. There were no Chiefs players from 100 to 11. And then once we got to
literally.
So weird.
Then when we got to number 10, Mr. Christopher Middle Name Jones.
Christopher Middle Name Jones.
I don't know his middle name. Number 10. So let's kind of like talk about the top 10 real quick. You know, I thought there were some people there who shouldn't be.
Let me guess. Is it numero 8?
Number 8 on the top 100 list should not have been at number 8.
That's Josh Allen, in case y'all are wondering. Josh Allen, everybody.
He should have easily been like 42. Like, what?
Oh my God. The Josh Allen hate is out of hand.
He should have been in the 20s somewhere. Let's be real.
I could see him in the 10 through 20, 10 through 15, probably.
The teens.
18 or 19 for sure. Anyway, let's talk about the top 100 list. Let's talk about the top 10, 1 through 10. What are your thoughts? We had 3 Chiefs players come in the top 10. We had Chris Jones at number 10. We had Travis Kelce at number 5. And, of course, the GOAT, the best quarterback in the whole entire world, the best quarterback in the NFL. Everybody wishes they could have him, but they can't. Two-time MVP, two-time Super Bowl MVP, Patrick Mahomes.
I like 1, 2, 3. And I would move Travis Kelce to 4. No offense to Nick Bosa. I would move Travis Kelce up because, I mean, duh. I don't need to explain that to y'all. Y'all understand.
I agree.
But Patrick Mahomes 1, Justin Jefferson 2, Jalen Hurts 3. Totally agree.
See, they agree with me. Josh Allen is trash.
Joe Burrow should be in the top 10. I do agree with that. I think 6 might be a little high, honestly. But I still think you should be in the top 10. Tyreek. Yeah, he's awesome. Oh, we lost Lexi. She'll be back. Tyreek, like, I don't like him, but you can't deny he's insane. So, top 10.
Absolutely. He deserves to be in the top 10.
Yeah, totally deserves it.
For sure.
I thought the list as a whole was weird. And I was just like, is this a joke? But I did agree with a majority of the top 10, at least. But I feel like we had some people who got snubbed on the Chiefs, and I'm sure there's other fan bases who had guys snubbed from them too. But I mean, Creed should have been on there. Nick Bolton should have been on there.
For sure.
Tooney should have been on there. Like, I mean,
my conclusion is people don't know ball. For a lot of people who don't know, like, how the actual top 100 list is curated, it is by NFL players. They are the ones who create this list.
And it's done in like the middle of the season.
It's done in October. October, November. No, maybe it's early. It's for sure October. I don't know if it goes as late as November, but this is something that the players make up, and they give them like a sheet that only has like 20 or 25 lines on there, and they want them to fill that in. So it's interesting to see how you create a list of 100 people from a sheet of 25 people. Cool. Whatever is your prerogative. But that is how you come up with the list. But I'm going to go through mine too. So I definitely agree with you. Of course, Patrick's number 1. I do love Justin Jefferson at number 2. I do love Jalen Hurts at number 3. I think it should go Travis Kelce 4, Joe Burrow 5, Nick Bosa, then Tyreek. Actually, I'm wrong. I would probably go Micah Parsons before Nick Bosa.
You can't be wrong. It's your opinion, Cody. It's
I know, but I was wrong in my statement of reading.
Oh, you would put Micah Parsons
over Nick Bosa. Micah Parsons before Nick Bosa. Yeah,
absolutely. Interesting.
Especially because I love what they're doing with him this year. They're moving him from linebacker to more of an edge. And I'm like, oh, that is going to be so
I want to do that with Willie Gay.
Yeah. I'm like, that's going to be so good for them this year.
Yeah.
Because he's very fast and he just comes off the ball quick. And I also think Chris Jones, I don't have him in the top 5 on this list, but I do see, I would go Micah Parsons, Chris Jones, Nick Bosa.
I like where Chris Jones is at, you know.
Yeah, I don't hate him at
top 10. I'm fine with him being there. I don't think that's a, like a diss.
Yeah.
Or an insult is the more adult word I was trying to use, not diss. But I don't think that's like an insult to him. Like, I'm starting to sound like my 8-year-old, where he's like, hey bro.
I don't think
it's like, I'm not your bro.
You say shade. That's not shade.
Yeah, it's not shade, it's not an insult. I think being in the top 10 is an honor, and I think this top 10 is mostly correct.
Isn't that what the kids are saying now? That ain't shade. I don't know. I ain't got children and my nieces stress me out.
When my son calls me bruh, and I'm just like, excuse me, I birthed you. You cannot call me bruh.
Yeah,
right? Nice. But then I like called him man the other day. I was like, hey man, I'm like, oh my god, it's the same thing. It's the same thing.
Correct. It's the same thing. Yep, it
is. Anyway,
Lexi, talk about your top. What do you think about the top 10 list?
I think it's pretty accurate overall. I think the entire list as a whole, top 100, has big issues.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sorry. I think it,
I agree. No.
I mean, really, yeah. Like okay, so there are, the NFL has an insane amount of talented players, right? So you can make an argument for everybody that's in the top 100. But then to see some of the guys that got left off of the list altogether is absolutely mind-blowing. There's guys that have been all pros for years that didn't even make it. And then I know it's a little Homer bias, but I don't even think it's crazy at all to say is that like guys like Joe Tooney should have made it. Creed Humphrey, Nick Bolton. They all had big arguments to make that list. And there's some guys on there where it just feels like a popularity contest.
Yes. I had those same three people when you got kicked off, Lexi, the same three.
Did you? Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, my phone hates me today.
No, that was my
phone. Zapping us with dings.
Oh, not here.
But yeah, overall, I think the list has big issues. I think the top 10, though, is accurate.
Oh, she was saying the top 10 is accurate. Bye, Lexi.
I agree. And I think that the players are correct. I think what she was going to say is I think that the players are correct, but she doesn't necessarily.
Maybe not the order.
Yeah. Yep. Because yep. I do think I think 9 of the players are correct in the top 10. So
yeah.
That's me.
And we have no idea which one you don't
think. Yeah, but she, Jesus Christ. I'm so sorry, people. I don't understand why. My phone is on Do Not Disturb. I swear to God.
And I'm about to give up on my phone as a whole. So
it's okay. There we finished your statement. So it's
thank
okay.
you. Appreciate
You're
it.
You're welcome.
I think we're trying to say is that you agree with the people, maybe not the order in the top 10 list. This is crazy.
Don't they know you're on a podcast right now?
It's been every Tuesday at 7 p.m. for literally almost the last year.
Let me tell you, segue real quick. Well, not segue. That's the wrong word. When I was at soccer practice coaching yesterday, I came back and I had 65 missed text messages and 36 of them were from y'all.
Sorry.
I was like, oh my God, I have so many missed text messages. I was only out for 2 hours.
I love it. And then you have to read it all.
I'm just like,
my family started wanting you guys.
Let's get into this last before we have any more text messages or internet issues.
Or children.
We got football this week. So first week of preseason starts this week. And the first game is Thursday. But us wonderful Chiefs Kingdom, the best franchise in the NFL, the best team out of 32 teams.
I'm squishing my dog, sorry.
All I'm going to do is hype us up every time.
Oh, my God.
I was hyped. I was dancing. And then I squished my dog's face. I didn't know it was there.
Poor dog. So Chiefs Saints Sunday at noon Central Standard Time in the Dome.
I thought it was Saturday. Is it not Saturday?
Sunday at noon.
Saturday.
Is this Saturday? We play Saturday at noon. You're right.
Yeah.
No, we don't. Okay.
Yeah. I think
we No, do. It's.
We play Sunday at noon.
No! Did I write it on my planner wrong?
I'm at this point pausing the show to go look it up.
No, I am too. It's okay.
Sorry, y'all.
It is Sunday. I'm so sorry, you guys.
Okay. Oh, my God. Y'all know I need glasses, but I already tasted. So
it's the next one. It's Saturday. I got it.
So we play this Sunday at noon. Central Standard Time. I think probably a CBS. No, NFL Network. So, I think everybody is just one super excited. But they're not even listening to me. It's fine. I'll talk to y'all because y'all are listening, the audience. Thank y'all so much.
I'm listening.
Type in the comments. Tell us your thoughts for Sunday. Y'all have been super active with us. I see a whole bunch of woohoos, exclamation points. The game is Sunday, exclamation point. Sunday, exclamation point. This is the most entertaining show tonight. Oh, thank you. We are kind of entertaining. But,
thanks, Holly.
Holly, what are y'all thoughts for Sunday? So the Saints have a pretty good defense, right? And we know that they're not going to play the whole entire defense, but I cannot wait to see what that defense looks like against our offense. And I also can't wait to see what our defense looks against their offense, because we have so many. Oh, dang, we didn't make it. And we lost Lexi again.
It's okay. I'm here. It's fine.
Totally fine.
I threatened them. It's fine.
I can't wait to see what our rookies and our second-year players look like going against this Saints team. I'm not personally winning their division this season.
I do too. I think they really could.
And they got a few ex-Chiefs players, right? So we get to see Tyrann Mathieu. We get to see Colin Saunders.
I get to see Dan Sorensen.
Dan? Okay, so he's not on the team anymore. He's not there anymore.
What's the point in watching now?
You're not going to see Danny Sorensen, but you will see Derek Carr. Some AFC
eyeliner
favorites in that. Tell Lexi to just give up. I don't even know what's happening over there. She's
like blipping like Spider-Man. Like they're blipping constantly. Look,
we've been trying to do like cute little clips to post on social media for y'all, but we can't because streams keep disconnecting.
So yeah, it's so crazy.
Whatever we get, y'all.
We're crying.
But we probably don't even need to dive into the game on Sunday. We can talk about the game a lot next Tuesday. But
yeah,
we have preseason. Yeah, we're going to wrap now, Lexi, because you're struggling.
Yeah, I'm done. I don't know. My phone can't handle this.
She's done.
So sorry. This is ridiculous.
It's okay.
It just cut her off when she was... This is ridiculous. Oh, dick you. Sorry. I didn't think. I'm sorry. I should stop talking too. But yeah, I
love to see what I deal with all the time. This is what I deal with all the time.
Constantly.
Anyway, we're not even going to get into the game tonight. Oh my God, I'm getting more text messages. We're not even going to get into the game tonight because we will definitely talk about our thoughts, our recaps, what we thought about
the
coaches, all of that on Tuesday on the next podcast. So y'all just make sure y'all are here. But honestly, that's really it. The only thing I can say before Chrissy closes us out, because Lexi keeps trying to pop in, is Kingdom Queens have a huge, huge. You on a laptop now?
Just ignore her. It's fine.
Okay, I'm like, wait, what? We got a huge announcement for y'all next Tuesday. I'm super excited. It's been something that we have been working on for the last few weeks. We got a huge announcement, so please make sure that y'all are here after the podcast. We'll be announcing it on our Twitter too for those who might not be able to make it. But yeah, she told me to hold it down for a second. Cool. So yeah, we're gonna talk about the game, and we're definitely gonna have our announcement too. If y'all are on Twitter, we are hosting pre-game spaces, halftime spaces, and post-game spaces also after the Saints game on Sunday. So tap in with us so y'all can hear our lovely voices, and it's just going to be a good time. So, Chrissy, close us out, because I don't have anything else.
I don't either. You guys, like as Jody said, we are going to have so much to talk about next Tuesday after we get to watch our first preseason game and see all our babies out there running around making plays and being awesome. So, make sure you're keeping up on Twitter. Like we said, big announcement on Tuesday. Make sure you tap in. And until next time. Your queens have spoken.
Lexi is my spirit animal.
Bye, you guys.
Bye, y'all. Oh my God, my phone's like.